All right, serving your city. So does that sound familiar? It should, because you know, every quarter here at EBC, we have what we call Serve Our City Sunday. And we do that, again, every quarter. We organize a bunch of local mission projects all around this great city of Bartlett, even into our neighboring city of Memphis. We do these projects on a Sunday afternoon and evening, reminding our community that we love them and that Jesus loves them. The next Serve Our City Sunday, okay, if you'll allow me just a little plug here, is going to be at the end of this month, July the 28th, and today we have released all the new projects. As always, we have projects for people of all abilities, of all ages, but most of these projects are new. As we begin just a new year of this initiative, we really wanted to refresh what we're doing. We really wanted to be intentional. So we have new projects and a new t-shirt, okay? So you can sign up for all of that at the info counter over in the gathering area. Thank you for allowing me that liberty. Well, now, but maybe you've wondered why we do that, right? Why do we take off a Sunday night every quarter and go out there and serve? Well, the reason is simple. Sunday is a day when the world expects Christians to sit, right? To sit at church, to sit at home, to sit in restaurants, and to be served. But what we want to do here at EBC, we want to show the world that worship is not just about sitting. Worship in its purest form is serving. Add to that the fact that many of us are already doing something church-related on Sunday nights, and so we have that time available, and it just makes sense to have Serve Our City Sunday. But here's the thing. Serving our city the way that God has called us to serve our city, that's not something that we should just be doing on Sunday. That's something that we need to be doing every day. Yes, we get together and we do this thing once a quarter, but we do that to put us in a mindset of serving our city every chance we get, every day of the week. And so the question is, how do we do that? Right? How do we make serving our city? How do we make doing mission work right here in this city where God has strategically placed each of us? How do we get to the point where we make that a priority? Well, to answer that question, we're gonna look a little deeper at this passage that Brother Josh read for us earlier, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. In this passage, Jesus goes through several cities. He goes through several villages. He teaches in those cities. He proclaims the good news of the kingdom of God in those cities. He heals in those cities. But as he goes into each of those cities, seeing their pain, seeing their lack of knowledge, seeing just their utter lostness, notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't complain about the people in those cities. He doesn't gripe about their immorality. He doesn't gripe about their complacency. Verse 36 tells us that he felt compassion for them because they were lost, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, when Jesus saw the city, he saw people who desperately needed to find God. He saw people desperately searching for something to satisfy their emptiness. He saw people who needed someone to harvest, someone to tell them that there's no secret to knowing God, right? It's just a matter of receiving salvation. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." But get this, you know, even though this took place nearly 2,000 years ago, I think if Jesus were here today, I think if Jesus were to look out over Bartlett, if he were to look out over Memphis, Shelby County, the 901, I think he'd still say very much the same thing. The harvest is plentiful. We can look out over our city. We can And we can see the lostness. We can see the desperation. We can see the emptiness. We can head down over to 201 Poplar on court day, right, and see the line of young men filing their way in, orange jumpsuits, ready to receive the consequences of their lawlessness, of their selfishness, of their brokenness sometimes, and occasionally the injustice of our legal system. We can read the commercial appeal. We can watch the news. We can see the arrests. We can see the accidents. We can see the trials of this latest generation. We see all that, man, and tell me there's no lostness. Most of you know I'm a runner and a little bit of a cyclist. And you know the safest time to run or to ride your bike out on the roads in Bartlett? Sunday morning. You know why? Because there's hardly anybody on the road compared to the rest of the week. There are very few people headed to church anywhere. Did you know that if you were to add up all the available seats in all the churches all over Shelby County, you'd have enough to seat about half of the population here? It's true. And yet many churches, inside and outside the 240 loop, many churches sit empty Sunday after Sunday. Why is that? Because the harvest is plentiful. And not only that, the workers are few. You're thinking, come on, Fred. I mean, there are churches on literally on every corner in this city, right? There are churches all over the place in Bartlett. I mean, here at EBC, we're here 3 miles away is Faith Baptist Church. It's a great church over there. 4 miles away is Bellevue, right? And then you got Bartlett Baptist. You got New Hope right across the street from each other, a mile and a half the other way. And those are just the biggest churches in our area, right? There are countless other small churches, traditional churches, contemporary churches, young churches, new churches, old churches. Yes, there's a church on every corner. And many of them are good churches doing good things. But friend, not all of them are that way. Not at all. Because there are a lot of churches that love to get together. They love to come and they love to listen to sermons and attend fellowships and maybe a Bible study every now and then. There are plenty of buildings full of people who love to get together and hang out. There are plenty of those. But that's not the kind of worker that Jesus is talking about here. We have churches full of sitters and receivers, churches full of consumers. But I'm afraid that if we're honest, we have to admit that the workers, the actual workers, the workers that get out there and share the gospel, workers that get out there and try to reach this lost generation, workers that are seeking revival and praying and giving so that the gospel can reach not only this city but the ends of the earth, those workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So what do we do? Well, I do feel like we have some guidance in this passage, guidance from the example of Jesus himself. Let's take a look. Look at verse 35 again. We're told Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and again, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So again, Jesus is out there, right? He's preaching the good news about this new kingdom that he's ushering into the world. He's helping people. He's serving people. He's healing people. And so you see, listen, as Christians, that's what we ought to be doing. You see, what Jesus does, that's what we do. That's what the word Christian means. It means little Christs. Okay, that's why we can look at the example here and see this kind of obvious first element of serving your city. You ready? Here it is. Go to your city. Right? I mean, it's kind of hard to serve your city if you're not in your city, right? Now maybe you're thinking, well, wait, it's my city, right? This is where I live. I'm already in my city, right? Not necessarily. You see, it's possible to be in your city, but not really in your city. It's possible to be physically present in your city, but to also be guilty of not going, to be guilty of staying, of guilty of withdrawing, of keeping to ourselves. Friends, listen, if it's harvest time, if the harvest is plentiful, you don't stay put, right? You get out there and you work. Ask anybody in agriculture that, right? And that's what we're called to do as believers. We're called to get out there and to work, to get out there and to serve and to minister to people just like Jesus did. If you're a follower of Jesus, friend, you ought to have relationships with people who aren't followers of Jesus. You ought to have friends in this city. We ought to have friends in this city, the city of Bartlett, who don't believe like we do. Who don't know, but who know what we believe and also know that we love them. You ought to be the person at work who people come to when they're having problems. You ought to be the person on your block in the neighborhood that the neighborhood kids love to come and see, right? You ought to be the strong one in your family, the one that everybody knows is there to help, there to serve, there to give advice when it's needed. You should be that person because that's the kind of person that Jesus was. Jesus didn't stay put. He didn't sit and soak and hold his arms out and expect people to flock to him. He got out and he served. So go. Go because Jesus went. Go because Jesus told you to go as well. Matthew 28:19, right? Go. Therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Go. Don't compartmentalize your life. We're bad about that sometimes, aren't we? We segregate our lives. We have church life here, and then over here we have work life, and then over here maybe, or school life, maybe over here we have our recreation life, right? Don't segregate your life like that. That's not what it means to follow Jesus. Like giving a nod to the Lord on Sundays, that's not following Jesus. Following Jesus means following him with your whole life. When you give yourself to Jesus, you die to yourself. You die to everything else, and now you're raised up in him. So live like you're raised up. Go. It doesn't mean you have to enter into the ministry and abandon wherever your work is. In fact, it probably means that you shouldn't do that. Because if you work out there in the secular world, you have contact with a lot more, many more lost people than I do. So use whatever avenue God has given you, wherever he has placed you in your city, and go. Serve your city. Don't stop there. Don't just go. Look at verse 36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He felt compassion for them. I wonder, how do you feel when you see the people, right? How do you feel when you go to Walmart or Kroger or Aldi, or that's where I go, or Costco or wherever you go? How do you feel when you see the people there? I know how I feel way too often. I feel judgmental. I feel critical. I feel superficial. Too often, I'm all those things, unfortunately. But Jesus didn't feel that way. When Jesus saw people, Jesus felt love for them. He felt compassion for them. Jesus cared for them. That's another way that we serve our city. Because here's the thing, we can't and we won't serve our city, like really serve our city, until we follow the example of Jesus and care. Care for your city. Care for people like Jesus cared for people. See people through the same lens that Jesus sees people. Not for their fashion sense or lack thereof. Not for their hairstyle or lack thereof, right? Not for their weight, not for how much makeup they have on. Don't see them for their tattoos or their piercings or their style that's different than yours. Right? Don't see them for their bad habits. Don't see them for their race. Don't even see them for their lostness. See them the way Jesus sees them. See them as either someone who knows Jesus or someone who needs Jesus. See them as someone who needs a shepherd. A guide, a divine leader in their life. See them as someone who either has God or someone who doesn't. And then see them as a person very much like you, a person very much like your children, like your grandchildren. See people as people. Not according to some superficial project that the world, superficial category that the world puts on them. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't see people the way that other people saw them. Other people saw a Samaritan woman. Jesus saw a broken, hurting soul longing for something in her life to satisfy her. Other people saw a demon-possessed lunatic. Jesus saw a man who was in bondage to evil. Other people saw a woman with a bleeding problem. Because of that bleeding problem, she was ceremonially unclean. Jesus saw someone who was isolated and desperate for healing. Other people saw categories. Jesus saw people. Jesus cared. Listen, do you care? Do you care that if the statistics are right, and they probably are, that nearly 250,000 people, at least that many, right here in the 901, if they were to die today, do you care that they would go to hell? Simply because no one has ever really explained the gospel to them. They think they know what it is. They think they know the gospel, but they don't because no one has ever told them. People stay away from their neighborhoods because it's dangerous. Many churches moved out of their neighborhood years ago because no one wanted to drive that way anymore. When you look at people in situations like that, when you see them being arrested on the news, when you avoid eye contact with them, when you have to drive down that way and they look at you, when you see them, what do you see? Do you see a category? A racial category, a financial category, a political category? Or do you see a person? Jesus sees a person every time. And Jesus needs workers in cities, workers to serve their cities who see people the way that he sees them. Jesus needs workers who will care. It's harvest time, y'all. And the Lord needs workers. Workers who will go. Workers who will care. And then workers who will, work. That's the third element of what it means to serve your city. Work in your city. Look at verse 37 again. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Again, it's important that you go. We have to go, and it's absolutely essential that we care, because when we go, when we get out into the community, and when we learn to care for people like Jesus cares for people, only then will we be motivated to actually do the work that's necessary to change your city without some kind of church program. Okay? That's why those two aspects of what it means to serve our city are absolutely essential. Because only then will we be motivated to tell people about Jesus every opportunity we get. Only then will we be passionate about sharing what Jesus has done in our lives. Only then will we be excited about every opportunity we have to share about the peace and the hope and the joy that we have because of Jesus. Only then, when we go and when we care, will we be able to see the importance of working in the harvest. Again, as I said earlier, July 28th, we're going to have another opportunity for you to get out there and work in your city. When I say work, I mean work. You can go out to the information desk out there. You can see all the different projects that we're offering. But I mean, we're gonna be doing things like we're preparing lunch and serving the Church Without Doors in downtown Memphis. We're gonna be cleaning bathrooms at gas stations in our area. We're gonna clean out flower beds at a local school. We're gonna offer a free car wash. We're gonna hand out quarters at a laundromat. We're gonna play Pictionary at a local park. Really. And we're going to be putting goodie bags together for students moving on to local college campuses. And we're going to be doing a couple other things too. Look, not all of this work is hard, but all of these projects give us an opportunity to show and to share what Jesus is all about. But again, as I said earlier, look, you don't have to wait for July 28th to start serving your city. You can start, and we need to start looking for ways to serve today. The point is, get out there, learn to love this city that God has given you, and serve. The Lord needs workers in his harvest. The Lord needs workers here in the 901. He needs workers here in Bartlett. He needs workers who will go. He needs workers who will care. He needs workers who will work. And then fourth, he needs workers who will pray. Pray for your city. Look at verse 38 with me. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. There's an important principle of the harvest, the spiritual harvest. Okay, that I'm afraid a lot of people forget. And here it is, you ready? We're not in charge of the harvest. Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. I'm not the Lord of the harvest. You're not the Lord of the harvest. Who's the Lord of the harvest? It's God. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. God is the one drawing all men to himself. God is the one convicting hearts, transforming lives. All we are workers. I told you earlier, I wish we had more workers. I do. I wish we had more Jesus people interested in serving the places where God has put them. Then we have Jesus people who do little more than consume. I wish it was that way. But what I've learned over the years is I can wish, right? And I can even go out and work, you know, try to lead by example. I can care, right? I can go myself. But the fact is, my efforts will do little to impact the harvest in a major way. This city needs much more than I can offer. Much, much more. This city needs an overwhelming number of workers with fire in their eyes and the gospel on their lips to tell people about what Jesus Christ has done, if this city is going to become what God longs for us to become. This city needs only what God can do. But here's the thing. God can do it. I'll say that again. God can do it. And I believe that God will do this. He will raise up an army of workers ready to pierce the darkness in this land if we pray. But we have to pray. There's an initiative going on right here in our city called Pray 901, where you can get a reminder to pray for your city, to pray for the 901 at 901 every morning and every evening. I'm just going to be real with y'all. I go to bed early, so a lot of times I get the 901 p.m. prayer at like 5:01 in the morning, all right? I'm just being real. But you can get that, okay? Twice a day, you can get a text reminder to pray for your city. I've been doing this for a while now, and I'm just going to tell you, it's awesome. It's a great thing. I love the idea of believers from all over the city praying for this city where God has placed us at 9:01 every morning and every evening. Our very own Ashley McCullough is the one who manages this. And here's how you do that. You ready? All you have to do is text at Pray 901, and you text it to the number 81010. All right? Matter of fact, you can do it right now, okay? So go ahead, take out your phone. Don't start playing Candy Crush. Just take out your phone. All right? Go to your messages and send a text to the number you send it to again is 81010, and the message is at Pray 901. Do this. Pray for your city and do it regularly. Okay? Even if you don't sign up, pray for your city. Don't waste time trying to argue people into the kingdom of God. Share the gospel with them and then pray them into the kingdom of God. Don't try to reason people into the kingdom of God. Pray people into the kingdom of God. Pray that God would show them the tragedy of their sin. Pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them of their need for forgiveness, for a Savior. Pray that they would stop trying to save themselves and seek the only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Pray for your city. And pray for people to go with you into your city. Pray for people to join you in caring for your city, and pray for people to work alongside you in your city. Go to your city. Care for your city. Work in your city. Pray for your city. Brothers and sisters, don't you understand? It is harvest time today. What about you? Again, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Will you join us in this? Will you help us reach this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you help us to do whatever we have to do to curb the violence and the brokenness that's here with the gospel of Jesus? Will you help us to do whatever we have to do to see the 901 come to faith in Jesus Christ? Jesus. You know, it's really all about Jesus. This morning, we've been mainly looking at the example of Jesus. And again, it's important that we look at his example because we are little Christ. It's important that we look to Christ to know how we follow him. But we need to understand that Jesus is more than an example for us to follow. The reason we follow Jesus is because of what Jesus has done for us. You see, Jesus, even though he was perfect, even though he was good, even though he deserved anything but death, Jesus died for us. He went to the cross, gave up his life for us, for you, so that you could have a relationship with God. I wonder, do you have that relationship with God? That relationship that you can enter into that starts you not on a sit and soak kind of phase of life, but a relationship that starts you on an exciting journey of service, bringing the people around you into relationship with him. If not, you can begin that kind of relationship today. Let me invite you, if you will, just to bow your heads and close your eyes as we think about perhaps more specific ways to apply the Word of God to our lives. This is what God's Word does. Again, it's not like other books that we read and we think, well, that was inspiring, and then we kind of go and continue to live in the way that we were already living. When we open God's Word, if we have God's Spirit within us, and if you know Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with Him, if you've surrendered your life to Him, you have God's Spirit. And what happens when we open God's Word and we read God's Word and we hear God's Word preached, the Holy Spirit like seconds the motions that are given to us in God's Word. Something catches our attention. And look, we can read the same passage multiple times and the Spirit will highlight something significant, something different in that passage each time. That's the way it works. But here's what doesn't happen for someone who's really following Jesus. We don't hear God's Word, we don't see God's Word or hear God's Word preached and then go away from here unchanged. This is not entertainment that we're doing here. When we see God's Word and when we hear God's Word preached, we have to ask the question, okay, God, what are you showing me here? How do you want me to be different? How do you want me to change? And again, these are just suggestions. It's the Holy Spirit's work within you that really prompts the change. But maybe God has you here today, or maybe God has you listening in online simply to show you how important it is that you stop consuming and start contributing. That you start investing in this thing that God is doing in the world. And again, you don't have to even be in good health to do that. You can pray wherever you are. And if we do anything, if we're guilty of anything in the church, it's underestimating the power of prayer, of crying out to the Most High God. So pray. Maybe God's calling you to invest in another way. It could be. Again, I'm not saying it should be this way at all for all of us here. God has you in a place where you can be a witness for Him, in a workplace where you can be His witness and bring people into relationship with Him just through your hard work and example. Listen, you have a much bigger opportunity to share the gospel out in this world than I do. But maybe God is calling you to invest your life full time in serving the kingdom of God. Maybe He's calling you to be a missionary somewhere overseas. Maybe he's calling you to lead the church, to try to motivate this church in the United States to be on mission where God has placed us. Maybe He's calling you just to say, look, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that I want to give Him everything. Maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've been religious. You heard of Jesus. You pretty well like what He has to say, but you've never owned Him. You've never said, I'm gonna live like He wants me to live, even when it conflicts with what I want to do. That's what it means to surrender. That's what it means to give your life to Him. And if you've never done that, you can do that today.